Jesus, you died for our sin, but also our healing. And so, Lord, our healing and our freedom we receive from you this morning. Even though we haven't seen it yet, we receive it as if it is already done. That's what faith does. It receives something as if it's already done. And so, Lord, this morning in faith, we receive it. We receive our freedom from the things that have been tearing us down, that have been holding us back, that have been binding us up. We receive that freedom even right now, Jesus. Thank you for that freedom. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, with new hearts, new minds, new eyes, new ears, look into your word in a fresh way that would transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't that a great song? Man, I tell you, I was getting lost a little bit. God's good. All the time. God is good. I don't know, for those of you who maybe grew up in a home where your mom did just about everything when it came to down the house stuff. So my house, my mom did the cooking, she did the laundry, she did all that kind of stuff. We kind of took care of our room and tidied it a little bit maybe. I don't know if it was clean, but it was, according to our definition, tidy. But that created some challenges when we got married. 30-some years later, I'm still a lousy cook. I have experimented with laundry over the years. A few times trying to be the helpful husband, I've wash some clothes, and Chris's stuff were in there too, and they changed color. Other times I threw things into laundry and they shrunk small enough to fit a 5-year-old child. And so it became eventually I was learned that there are certain clothes that you don't throw in the dryer, you have to hang up. Is it true? So eventually I couldn't figure that out either. Guys, what do guys do? They buy clothes that you can wash and dry together. You don't ever have to hang up, or you don't buy it. Right? It's pretty simple, right? So it got to the point where I was completely banned from doing anything to do with Chris's clothes. Even though I was trying to be helpful, it was actually costing me a lot of money to be helpful, because there's always buying new stuff to replace the old stuff that I destroyed. So there was this a couple that were newly married, and they moved into their new house. And the first morning they were there, the young wife, gets up, looks out the window at the neighbor, and they have clothes on the line. And as she's looking at that, she says, I can't understand why is there hanging out dirty clothes on the line? Did nobody teach them how to do laundry? Or maybe they need a new laundry soap. So every time this young mom or young wife looked out the window and they had clothes hanging there, she noticed that the clothes were always dirty. And she commented to her husband every time the clothes are there, like, I can't understand. Have they not figured out how to do laundry yet? Have they something wrong with their washing machine? Maybe they knew a new washing machine. And this went on for about a month. Until one morning, she got up and she looked out the window and she goes, wow, honey, look, the clothes are clean. They must have got a new wash machine. They must have got new soap, or somebody taught them how to do laundry. And the husband said, honey, this morning I got up and cleaned our windows. How often do we judge people from the window of our viewpoint? How often do we judge them from our own personal experiences or past hurts? I like red, so everybody should like red. I was hit by a green car one time, and so now I hate people with green cars. I mean, I had an experience, and some of you would have heard me tell the story before, where when my daughter was young, she had she wanted glitter gel. And so it was gel with glitter in it, and we wouldn't buy it for her, and so she created her own with, I think it was Vaseline and glitter. And that's not really, that was bad, but not as bad as it really happened. Because she decided to do it in our room, on our bed. And so for months, maybe years after, I showed up to church with glitter on. And can you imagine black pants with glitter, and I'm preaching, and all you can see is these flashes on my, and it'd be, I go to church to shake hands, and they'd say, Pastor, you have glitter on your face. I hated glitter. I despise glitter. I would put rubber gloves on to open glitter cards. I would make Chris open it. I would not let it open in the same room that I was in. This went on, believe it or not, for 16 years that I hated glitter. Until one day, literally, I said to myself, Paul, you got to get over this. This is ridiculous that you would be this long. But isn't that how we are with people? Our own past hurts, our own personal experience, and we avoid them. Now, I'll be honest with you. I still struggle with glitter. But I'm learning to get over it. When I get a little bit on my hand, I don't act like I got the plague. I go to the bathroom and wash them, right? But sometimes that's how we are responding and treat other people. See, Jesus has 12 disciples. He's chosen the 12. And now he wants to prepare them for the time he's going to leave earth, because he wants them to run the church. And so they're going around and they're listening to him teach. They're watching him, how he relates to people and how he connects with people. They watch him heal people. They're learning how to do ministry. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says this. As he went along, he saw the man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? Is this man or his parents that he was born blind? Neither the man or his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. The disciples were judging the man because he was blind. See, in those days, what happened was people believed that if you had a sickness, that it's because of sin. All sickness was because of sin. Some people believed that. And so they were looking at him saying that somebody must have sinned because he's blind. Now, if you think about the rationale here for a second, he was blind from birth. So that means he would have to sin before he was born. That's a little extreme, don't you think? But see, they already, without even knowing the man, the disciples had judged him. How often have we judged somebody that without even knowing them or knowing anything about them? Because they don't measure up to what they think they should be, because they're not like us, or because they act a certain way, and so we don't want anything to do with them. Back in the early days of the church, there was a lot of idol worship in the world. And for these idol worship, people would sacrifice animals. And after they sacrificed the animal, if there was meat left over, what they would do, they would take some of that meat to the market. And if you went to the market, you could buy that meat cheaper than other meat. So if you didn't have a lot of money, it was a cheaper meat to buy. There were people who believed that you shouldn't eat meat offered to idols. It was wrong. You shouldn't do that. And there was people that believed it was okay to do that. And then there was other people who believed that it was even more holy not to eat meat at all. We would call them a vegetarian. Do you know the Indian definition for vegetarian? Lousy hunter. So there's people that believed it's okay to eat the meat offered to idols, people that believed it wasn't okay to eat meat offered to idols, and people that thought it was even better not to eat meat at all. And what was happening is these people started judging each other for what they did or didn't eat. And right along in this is in Romans, it says, this is all going on at this time. Paul said in Romans 14, verse 4, "Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be able to make stand, for God is able to make him stand." Who is our master? Who's in charge of us? Jesus, right? Is it not Jesus the one that we are accountable to, that we are responsible to, that he's the one eventually that's going to hold us and judge us for what we did or didn't do? In James chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "There is only one lawgiver and judge." That's referring to Jesus. "He is the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" But I'm just trying to help Jesus, right? There's a lot of people to judge here. So if I can do a few for him, then it'll just lighten the load for Jesus, right? Jesus, I've already judged these people, and you don't have to worry about them because I already got that covered. I'm going to need a little help this morning. Maybe Roy, could you help me? Yeah, I need a little bit of help this morning here. Some people say, man, if you know him, he needs a lot of help. Okay. And maybe Brian, if you could help me too. Brian, you almost look like you knew I was going to do that. How did you know that? I didn't know until just now. Right? It's that smile. See, the smile gave you away. Okay, perfect. This is going to work just perfect. Brian, you want to stand over here? Okay, so Roy, I want you to help me with this, right? Okay, no, actually, Brian's going to help me with this. See, we've got, Roy has a little, no, sorry, Roy. Gail is our custodian. Gail, I apologize in advance, okay, because we're going to get this all over the floor. So now look at Roy here. Kind of a mess, eh? He needs, his tie's a little crooked. He's got a little bit of lint on, and he needs a little help being cleaned up, doesn't he?
A little bit.
What, do you think you could help him with that?
Possibly.
But not yet. I need you to do something first. I need you to put this in your eye.
Kind of hurt.
Okay, hold it. I put that there so it wouldn't hurt your eye. Hold it up so it's over your eye. And then I would like you, as you're doing that, to clean off the lint off him. Can you do that? No, try to get it there.
Oh boy. Can't do it.
You can't do it?
Too hard.
You can't do it. But Roy, is there not a problem here?
There's still more.
Yeah. Brian, maybe you could turn around so people could see. Just look over there. Does not Brian have lint on his shoulder? He has, look around over there so everybody can see. He has lint on his shoulder, right? Okay, let's give our people here a hand, and there you go. Okay, it's on your shirt. Thank you. Actually, when I brought this in this morning, the drummer thought it was coming after him. Okay, there. And some of you that would know this verse already. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when the whole time there was a plank in your own?" You see, we don't have the qualifications needed to be able to rightly judge other people. Our vision is blurred by the stuff that is in our own eye. What blurs our eyes? our prejudices. Sometimes the way we're raised creates a prejudice. There are certain people or things that we don't like. Our past hurts. In my life, I was scarred by glitter for 16 years. I'll tell you right now, if you wore glitter, I wouldn't come anywhere near you. In fact, when we do weddings, you know what's in our wedding policies? No glitter in the church. It's still in there. Because I came in a church one time after somebody had a wedding with glitter. I sat on the seat and I had glitter on you know where. You know how many months of counseling I had to go to get over that? Right? But that's what happens. We begin to judge people. We begin to look at our own hurts, and it blurs our vision, so we can't see people clearly for who they really are, and then we judge them incorrectly. We don't see clearly enough to be the judge. Have you ever judged a person from the surface? By what they wear, how they act, what they're like, what they did or didn't do? It was very interesting. I read something that says that the average person judges someone within 60 seconds of meeting them. You create an opinion of who the person is within 60 seconds. Does that seem right? Does that seem fair? Or does it even seem reasonable? That within 60 seconds, I can know everything I need to know about you, and I can make a judgment of who you are or not. How quick we are to judge people. Oh, they're too tall. They're too short. They're too loud. They're too quiet. They dress funny. They act weird. And the judgments go on and on and on. Have we ever judged somebody and found out later we were wrong? Yeah, it's happened to me more than once in my lifetime. If we're honest, we tell ourselves, yes, we've judged people wrongly. Now let's look at God. Has God ever made a mistake? Ever done something wrong? Has he ever sinned? Does he know everything? Does he see everything? Does he even understand the motive of a person's heart? One of the scriptures in Samuel says that, I do not see as man sees us. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. See, God, he is never wrongfully judged anybody. He is the only perfect judge. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. See, our responsibility is not to be the judge, but our responsibility is to forgive. And then we will, in fact, receive forgiveness. But Pastor Paul, you don't understand what they did, how much they hurt me or hurt a friend of mine. How often do we become hurt or offensive, not because of what happened to us, but because of what happened to somebody else? See, that's called third-party offense. You're taking up an offense for somebody else. That's not right. You see, because what's going to happen is that person will get it worked out with the other person, but you'll be left out of the loop, and you'll still be offended by something that never even happened to you. How often do we get that way? You know, I don't understand what happened in your life, the journey of your life, what's gone on, but God does. He's the only one wise enough, good enough, and just enough to judge them. I encourage you, leave the judging to him. He will do what is right.
Come. Sit.
You can judge me fine from there.
Judge you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something to confess?
You know what I did.
Yes. But you're not the one on trial. Today, you are the judge.
What?
Why are you surprised? You spent your whole life judging nearly everyone and everything. Their actions and motivations. As if you could even know them. You make snap judgments just by the color of someone's skin. Their clothes. Their body language. By all accounts, you're a well-practiced expert, Mackenzie. Sit.
Am I supposed to judge?
There must be at least a few who are to blame for all the pain and suffering in the world, right? What about the selfish? The greedy? Those who harm others? Murderers? Drug dealers? Terrorists? Guilty?
Yeah.
What about men who beat their wives? Or fathers who beat their sons to alleviate their own suffering.
Let's not do this.
Should that man be judged?
Yeah.
I don't. And you're gonna keep your mouth shut.
What about this boy?
What about him?
Would you judge him?
He's a kid.
But you already have. That boy is your father. Now, what about the man who preys on innocent little girls?
Daddy! Daddy! Okay, that's enough.
Is that man guilty?
I would damn him to hell.
And what of his father? The man who twisted him into this deviant monster?
I would damn him to.
How can you stop there? Doesn't the legacy of brokenness go all the way back to Adam? And what about God? Isn't he at fault? He set all this in motion. Especially if he knew the outcome.
You want me to say it? Absolutely. God is to blame.
Well, if it's so easy for you to judge God, you must choose one of your children to spend eternity in heaven. The other will go to hell.
Can't.
Can't do what? I'm only asking you to do something you believe God does. So? Who will go to hell? You could choose Kate. She said some pretty hurtful things. She shuts you out. You're not even sure if she loves you anymore. Or you could choose Josh. He's being disobedient, sneaking out, lying to you. You didn't know that. Mackenzie, make your choice.
I don't do this anymore. I can't do this.
Can't do what?
I can't. I won't.
You must.
This isn't a game.
You have to.
You know what? This isn't fair.
You must.
It isn't fair. I can't. Take me. I'll go instead of them. I'll take their place. You take me. I'll go in their place. You leave my kids alone and you take me.
Mackenzie. You've judged your children worthy of love. Even if it costs you everything. Now you know Papa's heart.
You know, I don't understand is how God can love Missy and put her through so much horror. She was innocent.
I know.
Did he use her to punish me? Because that's not fair. And she didn't deserve it. And my wife and my children didn't deserve it. Now I might. Because I'm...
Is that who your God is, Mackenzie? No wonder you're drowning in great sorrow. God isn't like that. This was not God's doing.
Yeah, stop it.
He doesn't stop a lot of things that cause him pain. What happened to Missy was the work of evil. And no one in your world is immune from it. You want the promise of a pain-free life. There isn't one. As long as there is another way in this universe, free not to follow God, evil can find a way in. Trust.
Aren't we tired of being the judge? The judge that holds people accountable. The judge that makes sure everybody does what's right. The judge that makes sure they're punished if they don't. It's exhausting. See, we're not created. We were never created to be the judge. It takes us and it robs us of sleep and health and joy and happiness and contentment and peace from our life. See, the gavel of justice is just way too heavy for us. We need to pass it over to Jesus and forgive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're here this morning. And even as we've been talking about judging, we recognize maybe all of us in little ways make judgments about people every day. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we realize that's the problem. That's why we don't have contentment. That's why we don't have peace. That's why we can't seem to get free. That's why we can't even forgive ourselves. Lord Jesus, help us to let it go, to give it to you. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you're here this morning, as we've been talking, we were talking about Jesus. And even in the video portrayed, talked about the man going in the place of his children. Was representing Jesus who took our place. When we deserved the punishment, he took it for us. Because he loves us so much. And you're here this morning and you really don't know that love in that kind of way. And you'd like to. I would encourage you that this morning, if you want to just surrender your life to Jesus and start that relationship with him, I would encourage you to do so. You can do that right now just by simply saying a prayer with me, just between you and God. Lord Jesus, as I'm here this morning, I recognize my unhappiness and that I have no peace. But I believe that you love me and that you gave your life for me. So right now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my life. Take control, Lord Jesus. I want to have a relationship with you. So help me to live for you every day. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, that's the most important decision you could ever make in your whole life. It's a new beginning for you. And in a new beginning, in a new way, there's going to be lots of questions and things you're going to wonder. And we have some information here with us this morning that we can give to you that will help you on those first steps. And so if you're here and you said that prayer and you'd like that information, just quickly raise your hand and we'll make sure you get it. Is there anyone? Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? You just want that information to help you on your new journey. If you didn't raise your hand but said that prayer and you'd like that information, you can still get that at the guest services table and you can contact us at the office and we can talk to you lots about how we can help you on this new journey. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you've been struggling a lot with judging. Maybe you feel like you've been judged by other people in your life, and so your response is to judge other people. And you want to be set free from that. You don't want to do that anymore. You need healing from that this morning. I encourage you to reach out to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. Maybe it's because of past hurts. Past hurts has happened in your life, and so you're guarded. And that you judge people because you don't want to be hurt. Jesus wants to heal you from that this morning, to set you free from it. I'd encourage you to ask Jesus even right now for healing from that, to stop judging, and that you would see people as he sees them. Even as the video it says, God sees his children as worthy of love, even with their imperfections. That you would see people like that, worthy of love. Lord Jesus, I just pray for everyone that is here this morning, that those who are struggling with judgment, help them to let that go. In fact, if you're struggling with that, just say this after me. Jesus, I let my judgment go. Now, if you've been hurt and you're still holding on to those hurts and you're having a hard time getting through it, I would encourage you, say to Jesus right now, Lord, you see my hurts, how deep they are. I pray you'll bring healing to them this morning. Thank you. Lord Jesus, help us to see people as you see them, as your children, worthy of love. In Jesus' name. I would like us to stand this morning. As we're standing, the worship team is going to lead us, and I'm going to ask the altar workers if they would come forward to the front. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, maybe to help stop judging, maybe help forgiving others or healing for past hurts or some other need that you might have in your life, I would encourage you to just go to Jesus and come to the altar, and we'll pray with you. So let's stand together. The altar workers will come forward. If you want prayer for those reasons or any other reason, I would encourage you to come forward to the front and receive prayer that God do a work in your life.